This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Revolution Beauty. Revolution Beauty is an affordable and accessible makeup for all. Since day one, Revolution has been challenging beauty norms and championing diversity.
All products are 100% cruelty-free and designed based on consumer feedback. So Revolution has something for every skin type and any occasion. And that is so great for me, Sasha, because my skin, it doesn't know what it wants to do. But I do love that they have a skincare kit for whatever you need, whether it's a blemish or oil, and their color palettes. Have you seen those?
Y'all know I love me some color, and that includes on my face.
So absolutely.
Now that summer is coming, I'm ready for all of the vibrant eyeshadows and all of the fun color palettes. I'm ready to go.
And Revolution definitely has something for us.
So we are teaming up with Revolution Beauty to give you 20% off your next purchase by using the code PODGO20. That code is PODGO20 at revolutionbeauty.us. Check out the link in our show notes and join the revolution today. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So y'all know we like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are actually sipping on something a little different. So Sheree picked this one out. I'm not going to lie. Sheree picked out all of the wines this season.
I was on it. Because I know that Sasha, this is the reason why. Sasha moved to the boondocks. So she has limited wine supply. But I have like everything. So I'm like, I can find all the wines and you tell me what you see from this list.
Yes. So we are drinking a sangria today. It's called Capriccio Sangria, and it is watermelon flavor. I already know I'm not going to like it.
They didn't have any others, did they?
They had the regular one.
Girl, you know they have regular, they got passion fruit. Just so you know, like little fun facts, because I just bought it. They have passion fruit, watermelon, regular, rosé, white. It comes in a lot of them.
They might have just had the regular and the watermelon, but she said you had the watermelon, so that's all right.
Yeah.
But this is, apparently it's Puerto Rican. So it is a fruity wine that with every taste, you get a tang of watermelon, pomegranate, grapes, pineapples, and oranges. And they say that it's a perfect addition to any summer party.
That's actually the reason why I got it. We mentioned at the beginning
of the season that all of the wines this season are Sasha and Sheree approved. So Sheree made sure that she found a sangria that is surprisingly 13.9%. Mm-hmm. And y'all can't see Sheree. If you want to see Sheree sipping right now, then you got to be a Sip Squad member. She has the biggest wine glass.
It is not. Okay. First and foremost, sangria is not wine. That's not fair. You don't drink. Like that's not fair though, because like you already know you're not going to like it. And
it smells so bad.
So sweet. Here's like, the thing.
Not bad, but it smells so fruity.
So I had the rosé one. That's why I said I had the rosé one. I haven't had the watermelon one, but
what's your thoughts?
It tastes like watermelon, which is weird to me because not a lot of things like watermelon.
I don't like watermelon.
That's their not so cultured side. That's the colonizer in you. That's them colonizer blood. You don't like watermelon.
It definitely, it's not as sweet as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's not. Isn't it alcohol forward? Okay. I want you to know.
It has a fizz to it though.
Yeah.
It does have a fizz. Like there is some sort, and most sangrias don't.
No, it doesn't. So that's the reason why I was so confused.
It's almost like it's carbonated.
It's almost carbonated. And like, to be honest, it really does bubble up when you pour it like a little bit. I saw this in the store and immediately sent Sasha a picture and was like, have you ever seen a Sasha and Sheree approved sangria? Because I said, wait, all of these are 13.9? I didn't know this existed. And it was like, yo.
Now.
Absolutely. Like I could see us, I said, the thing that I could see us doing is like sitting on your porch or sitting out on the deck in the summer with the breeze and just sipping this. This, all you need is this one glass.
I mean, it is alcohol heavy. I mean, it 13.9% of this, that's
it's enough. Like, I'll, you're drinking a glass of wine. Like, that's why I said most sangrias you add stuff to, or they're like a good base to start with, and then you like add rum. Yeah. I'm not adding nothing to this.
No, don't do that, guys. Don't do that. Don't add
this. This is literally a standalone.
I don't
hate it.
I will drink a sangria. Of course, I prefer red sangria.
Of course.
As opposed to a white.
I do too.
Red sangria is, it's a sweeter red wine typically in red sangrias. This one, I don't know if it's because it's supposed to be watermelon, but it looks like a rosé type sangria.
I mean, excuse me, the bubbles, man. I'm trying not to burp. Or I'm trying not to burp audibly, which is really hard when you just drink bubbles. But
I don't know where that fizz comes from.
It's so confusing.
It's not supposed, like, sangria is not carbonated.
No, it's not.
So most of the time, for those who don't know how to make sangria typically is a bottle of either a red or a white wine, typically a sweeter wine. Mm-hmm. It has some sort of rum, E&J.
Vodka. At this point,
we use vodka. Liquor. There's some sort of liquor that goes into it, and then you just add a shit ton of fruit to it.
Yeah, fruit and possibly a splash of juice if you need like something to take the edge off.
Possibly. Some people will add like ginger ale or something, but
that might be where they get this idea from. It's usually just a little bit of juice, whether it be like maybe if you're doing a cranberry or pineapple or something to just give that like round off, not as much alcoholic. But yeah, this is very confusing to me. So this is the reason that's confusing. Watermelon. So you're getting my honest first reaction because I have not had the watermelon. I had the rosé one, which was all of them. Just so you know, every single one of them are 13.9%. So no matter which one you get, the passion fruit, the white, the original, the whatever, they're all 13.9. So go ahead and have fun with it, y'all. I don't like watermelon flavored things. The only watermelon flavored thing I like, and this might be the hood in me, is the watermelon Arizona. The 99-cent can watermelon Arizona. That's it. That's the only watermelon thing that I promise you. That's the only thing. So,
at the 7-Eleven that you buy at the
7-Eleven, the corner store, whatever. The watermelon 99-cent, that is the only watermelon drink that I like. Everything else, I like watermelon. I like the fruit. So this reminds me of that. Like, the smell of it is like, oh, it smells like a Jolly Rancher. I figured it out. It smells like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, that is correct. It does smell like a Jolly Rancher.
Y'all, I was going to sit here and rack my brain.
But not a good one.
It smells like the green apple Jolly Rancher.
That is also correct, but it's watermelon. It's not green apple.
That's why it's confusing to me. That's it. It tastes like watermelon, but it smells like a green apple Jolly Rancher. My brain doesn't know what to feel. And yet it's 13.9%. So I'll drink it.
It's not. Yeah, I don't know. It's not bad.
It also has an aftertaste.
Y'all know I don't like Sweet Stray's face.
Because it has an aftertaste.
Normally I plug this at the end of the show, but for Sheree's reactions alone, I think you should go to patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast and become a member of our Sip Squad. So that way you can see our vino corners and our behind the scenes recordings when we do this. And you can see her entire reaction to this.
Because my heart is willing to drink it.
But you're like,
my face is like, oh my gosh, I have a bottle of this. What am I getting ready to do?
Yeah, I think you could probably put a splash of like white wine in it or some like an apple. If you get like because during the summertime they sell like the white apple juice.
I bet
you if you like topped it off with that, it actually probably wouldn't be that bad.
I'm about to have to make some concoctions because I'm going to drink it. Like, by all means, it has like it's not a bad flavor. It's like, it's very 13.9%. And I think it's because I never noticed it in wine, because wine is wine, but sangria to have such a high alcohol content, it's alcohol. Very alcohol heavy. Yeah. So yeah. That's where my face is just like frowning up, because I'm like, it reminds me of drinking alcohol. I don't like alcohol.
The taste itself isn't that bad.
No, the taste is fine.
The actual taste, but there is a, we don't know where this carbonation is coming from. And it is very alcohol-ish without being a distinct type of alcohol.
Like, exactly. It's like the first taste is alcohol. And then the last taste is alcohol. Then there's some watermelon. It's like an alcohol sandwich. It's a watermelon alcohol sandwich. So that's the reason why I just was like, my face is going to continue to do this, but I'm going to drink it.
So in case y'all are interested, again, what we are drinking on is Capriccio Watermelon Sangria. Give it a try. It's probably,
I will say, it's a very popular brand. So I never gave this, I have passed this in the store 1,000 times because I was just like, the bottle, is it not like the most colorful?
It's so colorful.
It's the most colorful, vibrant thing. So there's my little judgment and my pre-bias. I was like, you know, that's some juice. Because it's so big and loud. I said, this thing has to be like some kind of a wine cooler. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not.
So that is what we are drinking on today. But today's topic, what we are talking about, you might remember, I also think way back in season 1, we did an episode about how many kids was the right number of kids for us. But today we are kind of doing a little flip on that and talking about like siblings and our sibling relationships or Sheree's sibling relationships.
So this is an episode for me and it's an episode for me and for Sasha to reflect on the siblings that she's had in her life.
So I did find an article that I quickly wanted to go over about sibling personality traits. If you have siblings or if you're an only child, I guarantee you've read, you know, some of
these things. I was
going to
say, a lot of people are going to say it's BS because they don't like whichever one they
don't like
about
it.
Them.
But so we'll get into it. I think a lot of it's true.
I truly have, like, honestly, an opinion, like, even with my birth order, I'm like, yep, I can see that.
So firstborn folks, y'all are. It says they're naturally raised with a mixture of instinct and, of course, trial and error. Firstborns bask in the presence of their parents, which is why they sometimes act like mini adults. They are diligent and want to excel at everything that they do. They said that they tend to be reliable, conscientious, structured, cautious, controlling, and achievers. Mm-hmm. Some of their strengths that it says is that they are accustomed to being the center of attention because they do have mom and dad by themselves before the siblings arrive. So many parents will spend a lot more time with the firstborn reading and explaining things to their firstborn kid. So they do have that undivided attention at the beginning, which is why they tend to be overachievers. Statistically, they usually score higher in IQ tests and generally get more education than their brothers and sisters do. And firstborns tend to out-earn their siblings. But it says, of course, firstborn challenges, that success comes with a price. They tend to be type A personalities. They never cut themselves any slack. They have an intense fear of failure. They're typically inflexible. They don't like change and are hesitant to step out of their comfort zone. In addition, most firstborns are often given a lot of responsibility at home, which includes chores and watching over younger siblings. So they're quick to take charge, but can also be bossy. And that burden can lead to excess stress for a child who already feels pressure to be perfect. So those are our firstborns.
I would say that
personally. Would you say your brother is like that?
Nah.
Would you say Cyrus is like that?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, let me tell you what I would say. So
Quick reference point. I'm going to be asking Sheree all of this because Sheree, of course, is older brother and then she's the youngest sister. But her husband is the oldest of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows, of course, all of the siblings. So she can tell us
if the middles and youngers have
the traits.
Almost unequivocally, I can tell you like where this plays into a role. And it's really funny because I think that what goes on that they didn't say, and it's probably not scientific, but they always look at the firstborns as the test child. And I don't mean the experiment child or the test child. It's not to say like, oh, we're just doing anything, but we already know we have one. We each have one. I want more. You do not. This, whatever you do with Stokely, it's just going to be it. Good, bad, or indifferent. There is nothing that's just like, you figured this shit out with him. And you were like, all right, that sounds right.
That is what it says, that they... they tend to, so parents often tend to be by the book caregivers for their firstborns, because what the fuck we don't,
because it's like, by the time, because that first one, you're like, yes, we're gonna have no TV, we're gonna do this, and I'm gonna cut all their food into little pieces, I'm gonna do this, and you're like, by the time you get to that last one, however many you have, first, second, third, you're like, okay, so that was a little OD. That was a little bit much. Yeah. So I will say that I agree that this is definitely my Brandon, but not my brother. And I think that it's because, like, we have some added nuances. I mean, like, my brother is definitely, like, structured and conscientious and reliable. Like, what if I ask my brother to do something, he is, like, he is everything about his word. I've never not needed my brother, and he's not been there. He's always been a figure in my life. Like, I mean, also, me and my brother have a very great relationship for us to be siblings. And I think that goes into not birth order, but birth timing. We're 7 years apart,
because y'all have a y'all have a gap,
so we have a large there was no competition. My brother actually
opposite.
So my brother legitimately asked for a sibling, well, excuse me, he asked for a little sister. And then I came along. So if you ask him, he holds over my head that he asked for him, that I'm here because he asked for me. And I said, you do know, like, how do you have a child and you still say this? You have a child and you know how, like, well, life involves you works, but he will still hold over his head saying, that,
I think that plays, though, into, though, the dynamic between, because I think my husband is also a sibling. I've talked about this before. He has an older sister who pretty much same age gap between you and your brother. Yeah. She's 6 years older than him. And so they don't have, like, that same dynamic that your husband would have.
Yeah, who's 3 years. All of it, so all of Brandon's siblings, they're all 3 years apart. It's absolutely terrifying. They're all literally, I can calculate their age based on going by Brandon and then just counting back 3 years until I get to the one that I'm looking for, and if their birthday is passed or not passed.
So let's move on to middle children. Because, and you can tell me in the Cyrus household,
I can tell you it's true.
It's Brian, right?
It's so technically in four, it's Maya Brian. But so, I take out Maya because the girl.
That's what I was gonna say. So typically, a lot of the first, middle, last child, it works really well when you have siblings of the same gender. Yeah, because obviously you can test one against the other.
So I will say
when
that
you throw in a female and it's all boys, then that one's always gonna be different.
So let me put it like this: in the terms of Brandon and Maya are both. Brandon and his sister are absolutely both the same person in terms of, like, yeah, exactly. So I would say she's more of the first child, like, exhibits most of the more of the first child stuff than he did. Exactly. So, and also because he's not the, she's a complete achiever. And because she's a complete achiever, he's like, I'm not doing all that. And they're like, why can't you? Cause I'm not. And so he shirked against that all his life, where he was like, nah. So he did get, like, they both equally got that.
So let's look at Brian in this situation then. So middle child. So of course, it says if a couple decides to have a second child, they might raise their second born with less of an iron fist because, you know, previous experience. Might be less attentive since there's, of course, other children. Therefore, the middle child is often the people pleaser due to a lack of attention they get in comparison to their older and younger siblings. The middle child often feels left out because they're not the oldest, they're not the youngest, so therefore, who are they? This sort of hierarchical flounding leads middle children to make their mark among their peers, since parental attention is usually devoted to the firstborn or the baby of the family. Middle children are the toughest to pin down because they play off of their older siblings. But it says, in general, middle children tend to possess these personality traits. They're people pleasers, somewhat rebellious, thrives on friendships, has large social circles, and they're peacemakers. Their strengths are that they go with the flow. Once a younger sibling arrives, they learn how to constantly negotiate and compromise. They score higher in agreeableness than their older and younger siblings. They tend to forge stronger bonds with their friends and are less tethered to their family than their older and younger siblings would be. They're usually the first of their siblings to take a trip with another family or want to sleep at a friend's house.
I can see that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It says some of their challenges are that middle kids once lived as the baby of the family until they were dethroned by a new sibling. And so they often are acutely aware that they don't get as much parental attention as the quote unquote trailblazing older sibling or the youngest. And they often feel like their needs and wants are ignored. It puts them in a difficult position because they think they're not valued. It's easy for them to be left out, get lost in the shuffle. And it says that there's actually some validity to this. It said that according to a British parenting resource, a third of parents with three children admit to giving their middle child far less attention than they gave the other two.
Oh, it's a running joke because it's true. But so let me say it like this. I won't just say it's people pleaser. I think it'll also be attention seeking based on everything that we say. Yeah. So yes, rebellious. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like okay. So if you want to know, who did I tell you that Brendan acts like?
Like Brian. Yeah. The middle one.
Like, hence why I said, I don't know what to do with this.
He's already acting like the middle child.
I don't know what to do with this. I said, I wasn't stubborn. Like, so based on the stories that Brandon tells me, because I only have stories, I don't have a middle sibling, but I'm the youngest. So like when I sit there and I look, like, yes, the one who is like on their own, like sees himself as the black sheep. Yeah, I've heard all of that, like in talking with them. But I also will say, and I did think of this as we were sitting here, the one thing that at least Brandon has told me about all of his siblings is that all of them have a person in their family.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the difference why they like all of them. But yes, did he get away with more? Absolutely. If he cried, they got in trouble because so you saw him do this. Yeah. It's like, you told us not to bother him. You told us not to parent him. You told us not to do this. So then when we let him do by himself, now we in trouble because he got into something. Yeah, that whole thing happened. But like every single one of them had older, like whether it was a grandma, great grandma, you know, godmother, like one person who they, uncle, every one of them had a person that they gravitated to as their like person. So I think that they all got their own attention in that way. So I will say that because he is the most beloved in the whole thing. Like, I don't understand. You don't understand. He is the everybody's person. They're like, oh, everybody loves him. And I was like, he's never around.
He isn't. He's the one.
I just want you to know. Yes. Okay. So fun story.
And I have known the Cyrus family for 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. So I met Brandon's youngest brother first. And I think I met his sister at the same time because it was at his youngest brother's track meet. We were just talking about this actually a couple of like weeks ago. I met like the baby and the girl together. Mm-hmm. It was months because this was like July-ish. It was Thanksgiving before I met Brian. And I was like, I heard of him. It was literally like, I heard of him. I knew he existed. I knew I was almost with Brandon. I was almost with Brandon for a whole year before I met.
Wow.
Yes. Like it was one of those things where I was just like, huh? And I mean, absolutely, like all of them have their own personalities, but they play off each other so well. Yeah. Like it's beautiful to be a part. Because remember, the thing that I've always said about his siblings is that Brandon and I both gained what we never had.
Yeah.
Because me and Brandon are the same age. So I gained three younger siblings that I never had. And he gained an older one and technically an older sister because my sister-in-law is like my only sibling in that way. So we both melded a perfect family of gaining what we never had. I know, isn't that so sweet? Uh-huh. Well,
so let's move on to the young.
Hey, huh? Me?
The Sheree. Let's move on to the Sheree.
I am here.
I already can read this and know that some of it's true just by the way that Sheree talks to her mother.
Hey, don't do that. Don't you do me like that. Don't do me like that. That is not the reason.
So according to this, the youngest child tends to be the most free-spirited due to their parents' increasingly laissez-faire attitude towards parenting the second or third or fourth or fifth time around. It says they tend to be fun-loving, uncomplicated, manipulative, outgoing, attention-seeking, and self-centered. So, last-borns generally aren't the strongest or the smartest in the room, so they develop their own ways of winning attention. They're natural charmers. They normally have outgoing social personalities. It's no surprise that many famous actors and comedians are the babies of their families. They score higher in agreeableness than their firstborns, but remember, not more than the middleborn. They tend to make a play for the spotlight with their adventurousness. They're free-spirited. They're often more open to unconventional experiences and take physical risks than their other siblings do. Some of their challenges that they say is that they can be known for feeling that nothing I do is important or that none of their accomplishments seem original. Their siblings, of course, have already learned to talk, read, ride a bike, do all of those things before them. So the parents react with less spontaneous joy at their accomplishment and may even wonder why they didn't catch on faster. It says last-borns also learn to use their role as the baby to manipulate others in order to get their way. They're the least likely to be disciplined, and parents often coddle the littlest when it comes to chores and rules, failing to hold them to the same standard as their siblings.
It's touch and go. It's a touch and go thing. So a lot of it, I'm like, if y'all see me, y'all don't see me, but I'm like, I'm nodding my head and I'm like, no. So this is the interesting thing about my family. And I think that, like, as I've talked about, like, I have a family history with addictions and things like that. So I think that that plays a role in why I actually act a lot more like a firstborn in a lot of the stuff, like the accomplishments, the achievements, the type A needs it to drive. Yeah. And my brother is more like not the middle child, but he's more like the one who's not, like, all the stuff that you said about, like, they gotta go and everything. No, I was the achiever. I was the overachiever in the family. And I think that, you know, there's a whole therapeutic thing to that, but I will say I'd never felt like, once again, the birth difference, this difference in our age makes so much difference, because I never felt like nothing I did was important, because it was new enough at 7 years. Like, oh my gosh, look at you. And I was a girl, my brother, I have a boy and a girl. So like everything was new.
Yeah.
So like literally my parents gave like the perfect little family, but so, I did learn. I am a manipulator. I will say that openly. Oh gosh. Look, I'm going to just tell you right now. Like, that's why my dad says all the time, because I never got disciplined. And it's not that I didn't get disciplined, like, because
go back to season one, guys, about how Shane talks to her mom.
This is the thing. Both me and my brother do that.
Oh, that's
okay.
Even
so here's the thing. The reason is because both of my parents allowed us to speak our mind, and they definitely would knock us across the line. If we stepped across the line, they knocked us about 10 feet behind it. There was no way that I wasn't going to know that I crossed the line. There was never going to be a point where, but my brother and I have gotten into most of our arguments when he's like tried to do the, no, you can't do this or say this. And I'm like, you're not my parent. My parent is actually right here, like literally in the room. I do not respect you. I actually have said that to my brother. Respect your authority. Like, and then we commenced to fight. He's punched me into my legs till I can't walk. I've kicked him. I've stepped. No, it's okay, because I've like put on my little steel toe boots and stepped on him. Thank God I have a nephew. Amen. But like, I've literally like stomped on him. Like, I've literally did a running. Hey-ya!
That is,
okay.
That is horrible.
Like, we have fought throughout the fucking house. My brother also is the one who made me tough, though. And I will say, not tough in a bad way, but that's the reason why. Like Brandon said, he's like, yo, you really are just like real aggressive in the way that you, and I said, I had an older brother who didn't allow me to just be like, I know how to defend myself fully. My brother will come in the house and it's just like, I come in the house like, hey, everybody, what? And I'm like, why am I getting hit? Why are we fighting? Why are we fighting right now? So he didn't treat me like delicate because I was a girl.
So
the youngest, I definitely know that if I cried, my dad couldn't take it.
Oh, well, no. that's also because you were a girl.
Yeah. But here's the thing. When they would get into an argument, like say my brother and my dad, because I was very protective of my brother to this day, I'll fight over him. But say they're getting into an argument and it's too much, my mother will go to my dad, my brother, because of course that's his one person. He not going around her, he ain't touching her, nothing. And I would go to my dad, and it like if it just got to be, I'm like, I just don't know. And I'd storm off into the room. Storm off. That's all I needed. My dad just be like, oh, come on now, wait. I'm like, what are you? And I like have one tear. He's like, oh, stop. Come on now.
Manipulative. Manipulative.
But
manipulative.
Yes, I know how to cry on a dime. I could cry right now, okay?
Oh, like, I can too. Don't
I
get
can
twisted.
Cry.
I can think of
I can cry on a dime.
That's just the benefit of being a girl with daddy.
So I will say that there is a piece of the different, the only reason that I would say that it didn't count for me is only because we had such an age difference that we, like I've always said, it's almost like we had two only children.
Well, that's, I think my husband and his sister are very similar to that because they had the same age. She's very protective of her brother. To this day, I've never seen them get into an argument, and I've been around 20 plus years. I've never seen them argue. And I've asked before, like if they ever got really into fights or anything like that when they were younger, and everybody always tells me no, like because they were, you know, she was very happy to have an older brother or a younger brother, especially because their cousin,
I was gonna say he's youngest, right?
He's younger, but their cousins were two girls, so older sister, younger sister, and so she was like, oh, I have a brother. So she was excited to have a brother. She's very protective of her brother, and so you couldn't talk bad about her brother, you couldn't do nothing to her brother. And so, and then of course they got to a certain point where he was like then bigger than her, and so then it was like, even though I'm the younger brother, like I'm gonna protect my sister. So they've never had any sort of like conflict.
And that's the thing, my biggest supporter, my degree, my master's, my everything, my brother is like the one who's in there like, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, are you like he's like, there's
you were
nothing.
His first baby.
Yes. And I mean, he asked for a girl. He asked for a little sister, which is very weird. Because a lot of people are like, boys want boys. Nah. My brother said, I want a little sister.
He was probably like, I don't want to deal with no little boy right here.
My brother said, I want, like, and this is how he always tells the story. He's like, my parents asked, hey, do you want a little sister or a little brother? I said, so shouldn't you in your adulthood mind know that they already were pregnant?
Yeah.
But he believes that him saying, I want a little sister.
I definitely and think here it makes it easier when it's one of each, because like my mother-in-law, for example, has always said she has a favorite daughter and a favorite son. So she's never had to compare the two. Like, you know, they're different because they're boy and a girl. And she says the same thing about her grandkids because she has one of each. She, you know, I think she's a little worried that she was might, you know, pop up with a second granddaughter and she wasn't going to know what to do with that because my niece is my niece and she's special. And And she's very much the firstborn only child. And so
exactly.
So when she got Stokely, it was like, okay, now I have my favorite granddaughter, my favorite grandson, and there's no like competition.
There's no competition because and that makes a difference. So like I had someone who I could run behind, and I know that me and him have had our arguments, our fights and all that, but I was able to run behind my brother. He was like, there was the take your sister with you moments, of course, you know, and growing like, up. But he had friends who had siblings. So I grew up with his friends' siblings. And to this day, we're like all still like, I know them. I know their families. We all, like you said, we already talked about the fact that we have, my brother as just like I have kept the same friends all of our goddamn lives. So I actually feel like I grew up with like five brothers, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Five brothers, all different ethnicities, no matter where the hell I've gone in the city. Do you understand how scary it is when they're like, I come home from a day of just being out, not doing anything wrong. So I saw you was over at Union Station. Who the fuck told you this?
Yeah.
So don't they have another piece on there that talks
they
about
do,
you, Sasha?
And I am going to read it, and Sheree can tell me if this is me.
I'll tell you. I can tell you right now, yes. I've read it. It's you.
Only children. Being an only child is a unique position. Without any siblings to compete with, the only child monopolizes their parents' attention and resources, not just for a short period of time like the firstborn, but forever. So, in effect, it makes an only child something like a super firstborn.
Are you okay, boy?
See, that's why they should say shit like that. Because I'm like, yep, I'm a super firstborn.
She go ahead and on a shirt like next month.
Super firstborn. So it says only children have the privilege and the burden of having all of their parents' support and expectations on their shoulder. So older children tend to be mature for their age, perfectionist, conscientious, diligent, and leaders. And I will say, so the part about having the privilege and burden of having all of their parents' support is very true. As an only child, a lot of shit falls to you and you don't realize it until you get older.
I have a whole issue with this entire article. Where the hell are your strengths and your
weaknesses
and your challenges? Y'all ain't got no strengths and no challenges. They literally ended like bullshit. Parents.com. I call bullshit on the fact that like you done mapped out
because
the challenges
people,
for the first,
people,
second, and third.
Most people will find it anytime you see like read anything about personality traits with siblings, mm-hmm. if they always like throw
their own children
in
there and not feel bad
at the end.
Not having siblings.
Yeah, it's
but
like,
here's the thing. I feel like there's a lot of, we talk about this all the time. Like, yes, there's all those things. And yes, you are the one person. And I found, because I have some friends who are only children as well as you. And it's very similar in the fact that like you are the weight of everything falls on your shoulders. And that is a big challenge because there is nothing to share the burden of shit.
Nope.
And I think you've talked about that even with like your father. It's you didn't have another person to bounce off your feelings. You had
I think it becomes more apparent as you get older because and your parents get older.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no one to share the responsibility with or talk out like, okay, what are we gonna do when mom and dad gets old?
Mm-hmm.
Or who's gonna make these decisions or who's gonna pay for something? You know, I don't have any
of that. Hey yo, she blew the fuck out of me, which is like, a very often conversation. Like, you know how many times I've called my brother and been like, your mother, your mother get on my whole nerves. I can't take it. I'm talking about me and my mom don't like have very bad arguments, but the times that we've had them big blowout, I don't even want to be here no more. Don't talk to me. I'm done. I'm like, I've called my brother and been like, you know what? Your mother just be blowing the hell out of me. And he'd be like, yeah, she do that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, so we can have that conversation.
No. It's always, for me, it, as my mom gets older, you know, when my dad passed away, that was probably the first time where it became apparent to me. Not that, I mean, obviously I've always known I'm an only child, but in that moment, it's kind of like, oh, I don't have anyone to like
different
share in that grief of losing a parent.
I think that does make a difference because, you know, we've recently had the loss of Brandon's father and the four of them together.
Yeah.
And I've never, me and my brother have only been the only ones. So two was great for us, but seeing the four of them and like seeing how that they've all been together and like seeing how we still like the relationship has changed even now. Yeah. I was like, yo, they all have had their moments, their person, like they've all had their thing.
So I'll say this though, because like, you know, I will say, you know, when my mom passes away, it is a sombering thought to think as an only child that it will then just be me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I won't have anybody else. And a lot of times people use that as a reason to have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother-in-law kind of said the same thing before we got pregnant. She was like, oh, well, you know, don't you want to have more than one? Because what happens when you get old? You know, and what happens when you're no longer here? And then, you know, you have a brother, you have a sister. And I always say as an only child, you can't miss what you've never had.
Yeah.
So I've never experienced having siblings. I only know life as an only child. And so therefore, you know, it's hard to say would I be happy or sad or, you know, anything like that with having a sibling. So it's like,
no, you got siblings. You just got siblings that you got to choose.
So I will say the part in this article where it says that only children tend to be, what was it? Mature for their age.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely me.
Yeah.
I have always been
the
mother of our group.
She's the mom of the group. Not just because she was a girl. I mean, that's definitely plays a part, but you're the mom of the group.
Yeah. I'm definitely like the mother of the group. And I don't consider myself a perfectionist, but she lies
and shame the devil. The lies she said, girl, we are on headphones. I do not need to get shocked from your lies. Sasha is a let's just be clear. Like, as they said, super firstborn. That's all you need to say. Everything about this podcast, everything about life, type A personality. She is the planner of our group. If we say we want to go somewhere within the next day, she's going to have five different locations with the addresses and everything like that. I found all these. This is how much it would cost. If we're doing this, we need to do it now. Are we doing it? Don't let me pull the trigger, because if you tell me we're going to go here, I will find all five locations.
I do have a very type A personality. I do think I've definitely, as an only child, I've been an overachiever. I've been a people pleaser. Like, I always have sought my parents' attention and like wanted to like show them like I can do like all of these amazing things. Because I don't have anyone to come. I can't say like, look, I'm doing better than so-and-so.
Like it's just, you never had anyone to compare with, but at the same time, that means that all the spotlight is on you, which is just as like frustrating, to be honest, because there's no comparison. Like, I can look sometimes and be like, you mad at my brother? It's okay. I'm here. If sometimes it was like growing up, it was like, I know that as long as, that's why I never really got disciplined, to be honest. The reason I never got disciplined is because as long as my brother was doing something, he was always getting in trouble. I knew what not to do, because I was you shouldn't do that.
When it comes to parenting, I can see that dynamic between me and my son, because my son is going to be only child. And I see why we end up the way that we do, because he's the only thing that I focus on. So it's like, okay, Stokely, like, let's read all these books and we're going to practice our Spanish and we're going to try all these different activities. I got every subscription box under the sun for Stokely. So it's like, we do all of these things and that's what we focus on.
And that's once again, a part of the type A thing, more than even just an only child. I believe if Sasha had 15 children, she'd be the same fucking way. I don't know why she seemed to think that that's a thing. That's just because he's the only child. No, because I look at me and Brendan, like, yeah, I'm like, not even that I want to have another one. It's just like all the time that I spend with him, the way that I look at him and the way that I approach him is completely different from you. I'm just like, I'm like, he loves to read. Cruel, we're going to read these books. But if you want to be on your tablet for the rest of the day, I am happy. Go ahead over there. Go on.
Do you know your
letters? You know your numbers? You know your this? All right, we good. Carry on.
I would not trade being an only child, though. I like, people try to use it as a dig against me sometimes, because I'm spoiled and I get whatever
you
I
are.
Want. I love being I will own that, but I love being an only child. Granted, I've never known any different, but I love it.
As a baby of the family, the baby is always the most spoiled, and I'm like, I mean, spoiled is relative. Like, I said, I was like, I guess if you say, comparatively, like, am I rotten? Like, was I a person who, like, if my parents didn't get me something, I was just like, nowadays, I believe that the spoiled means something different. That's the thing. I think that we think of spoiling, and we have to remember in our 35th year of life, or coming up on our 35th year of life. I'm gonna whisper that. I'm not gonna say it again. If you didn't hear it, then you don't know how old we are. But that meant something different with us growing up than what it means now. Because nowadays, the children growing up today are very different when we say spoiled. And I would never have my child be that. I'll be goddamn if he's ever the spoiled that they say. So was I spoiled?
I had what I wanted, but
I also knew that if my parents didn't have it, if my parents didn't have it, there was never a time where I was like, oh my gosh, mom, she has this, I have this, why don't I have what they have? Nah, that wasn't spoiled. My spoil was when Christmas came and I asked for this, I got it. If I wanted to go out to the store and I said, oh, can we buy this? Now, depending on like some things, because I still got told, don't ask for nothing, don't tell. I was always the toucher. I was the toucher. My mother knew where I was in the store because I always, for some reason, found the loudest shit in the store. Like, she could be over in the clothes. You would just hear, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's like, you touched something, didn't you?
I see this. So my place of spoiledness comes from, I vividly remember when I got to the age where I understood that my parents could afford things and would tell me no. And mm-hmm. I would be like, but why?
Mm-hmm. Like what?
And it was because they didn't want me to be, because they didn't want me to be spoiled rotten. So
they didn't want you
no.
to be rotten.
But I would be like, but I don't understand. But
can you explain to me how we have what you need, what I want, but you won't let me have what I want?
Who else are we getting things for? I don't understand.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's why it's like people think that you spoiled means automatically that you had a lot of money. I'm like, I grew up, as I said, I grew up poor. Well, I didn't know I was poor, but I never knew it because even though it was only two of us, and maybe it would be different if it was a lot more of us, but I grew up getting everything I wanted, literally anything under the damn sun that I want. I wanted a keyboard. I got it. If I like this week, mom, I wanted a keyboard for Christmas. I had a keyboard. I taught myself how to play Fur Elise. Yes. And Ode to Joy. I don't know why those are the two things.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too. I did.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted a keyboard. I got it. I was into science. I wanted an electron microscope, you know, like one of the, like whatever we had back then. I got it with the slides and everything. You should see me out in there cutting grass.
I wanted one of those too.
I got, like, that's what I mean. When I, like, I never wanted for a goddamn thing.
I would circle the shit. I would circle damn near the entire Toys R Us Big Book catalog and not get any.
And see, and the funny thing is I would get everything I wanted, but also it was like, I didn't want a lot of stuff. It was one of those things. Like, also I knew that if my parents said, you know what, right now I can't and everything. I was never a person who was like, what? I was like, okay, it's cool. Mom, it's fine. I mean, like, you're doing awesome. I never felt that pull to say, why don't I have this? My brother was this, and maybe it's just because that just might be my personality more than just like my birth order. So when I look at, and I'm thinking of like Brandon's brother, the baby. Yeah, I mean, like when you get to the baby, like for real, to be honest, I think that's true. Like the baby of the family has had every single, by the time you get to that one, you know what you're doing, you know what worked, you know what didn't, you at least know what to try if this doesn't work.
You also
know what you
like,
you know what you don't like.
They're not going
to
kill
themselves. Have someone else.
They not
and
hurt
you
for real.
Have someone else there to help because siblings help.
You got however many that came before them.
Because I don't give a goddamn. I just want you to know. Brendan is that way.
My cousin has four. Mm. And that last one, that is the last two, because the last two are a year apart. Mm-hmm. It was always go get your brother, your sister, go do whatever with them, like help them out. So that's
don't take
the
them.
Youngest is
they're raised, like they're halfway raised, they're halfway supervised or raised by their sibling. So that's why I said Brendan, I can see like the nurturing, because you've seen the nurturing side of him. I'm like, you're gonna be a wonderful sibling, and I can't wait, because all the stress you give me for needing this attention, you will have a little one. Who you're like, you can sit there and help. Like, you can channel all of this. I want everything into him or her. Yes, please, Lord.
So we would love to hear about where you fall in the sibling lineup. If you are a first, middle, youngest, or an only child like me, because you are amazing.
They think they
so
amazing.
You can always... You can always email us and let us know at hello@thrillersitpodcast.com. You can join along in the conversation that's happening most assuredly over on Instagram at hello@thrillersitpodcast. Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, if you want to see Sheree's face drinking this wine or this sangria, make sure that you join our sip squad over at patreon.com/thrillersitpodcast. As always, make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review each episode. We are available on all your major podcast platforms. The rating and reviewing is what definitely helps out the show, because it helps others find us. And we have amazing things planned for this season, so we would love for more people to hear the show. And of course, as always, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.